Oh, the more we need to get out of it.
His desire quite strong within those circumstances.
I mean, we can recognise it for what it is, but we don't have to take part in it.
Right.
To a degree, you feel sorry for those who have to. Can't get out of it. It doesn't take a great deal of effort to sort of move yourself apart, as you might say, and begin to learn from it, which is a better way of living. But we shall get by without getting tainted. As you say, Victor, desires to this or that, the wise just like that, because that's a very common element in most people, and you can very easily pick it up and detect it in others, and sense it to be, to some degree, your own as well. Just like that. But if you're aware of it, then of course it's another matter. You don't have to follow it. Just if you're not aware of it, it takes over. And that's the one thing that distinguishes us from them. The fact that we see these things and see them as being unhealthy and don't follow them out necessarily. Others get blinded by them and follow them out and don't live very happy lives. Sad. One of the things that the Buddha encouraged, the middle way, balanced way, had ought to be said for it. Great deal to be said for it. When you come to Vedanta, we all live through our senses. Sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. We live through those things. And that is our total experience in life. Through them. And, okay, in a normal sense, there's nothing wrong with that. Of course there isn't. In one way, it's almost an ideal. The thing is, we get attached to our impressions, whatever it may be. And the desire for more, and more, it strengthens the attitude of desire, or aversion for that matter, as the case may be. And you might say that they, like your muscles get strong by usage, so also do these things get strong by usage. So they have just one, just try it once, and then, or once again, that's already going. We're getting onto an addiction rather than just trying out. So easy this grasping attitude of mind will take place, and take which is a perfectly innocuous thing and turn it into something that will destroy you if you take it to the limit. So it's just to be aware that this is there, and then we go home back. We're not going down that road, but it's to manage without it. Just simple little thing like that, by being aware, not being blind in their mind, saying, oh, this is better, this is better, this is better. It isn't. It's a delusion. And so you go in the opposite direction, be aversion. You find a lot of things you're averse to, there's nothing to be averse to about. It's just a concept or an idea that you allow to suppress you in your own mind. But midway, it's quite the adjustment. So you're quite mysterious, and you can be reasonably content through life without any great war. Provided you don't allow yourself to be pulled too far in either direction, that's all. But be aware that you are being pulled. And society, of course, would like you to be pulled with it, to confirm itself. But then you don't need to be confirmed that way, you confirm yourself by remaining steady. And only then do you begin to live your own true life and not everybody else's. That's why that's simple. Try things once. Yes, nothing wrong with that. But see where it's likely to take you and you won't want to go any further. In fact, you might, if you see where it's going without, generally speaking, you might not even want to try it once. You used to use your novel and you assess things for what they really are and how it would affect you and through you others. It's not just this, it's how this affects others as well. How easily, if you're persuaded by other vibes of others and the thoughts of others which come into your mind and you follow them out, so how easy it is to get your karma hung on. And your vibes in that glass of helping others to follow on the same track. Rather a little mindfulness and awareness, because we don't go down that path. So we stay much more healthy, and our karma is much more healthy. Perhaps even dropping a little off even there. But if we'd be stable in this attitude, usually well-being, than if we give our full attention to anybody else in that, just for a moment, it gives them that response, and for the next half hour, their karma is going to be better. So our karma does affect theirs after all. As a runoff. I mean, you do know very well that, I mean, if you get a bit up at you and just pass somebody by without an acknowledgement, they get a little resentment, and in that little bit of resentment, their karma is going to be a little worse than it would otherwise be. Whereas if we do give them full attention with goodwill and they blossom, their karma is going to be so much the better, isn't it? So to that extent, by virtue of our conditioning, can affect their condition and therefore their karma. It's a point to consider, isn't it? Well, we need to be a little more careful with our own observations of how we decide to do things and when. And the way we handle other people, give them the attention that is required from time to time. That we get a rapport with people. It's a spiritual blossom in every way, so that gradually they can be lifted out by just constant association. But not necessarily anything else. Might even go to something more, you never know. But it's worthwhile living that way. The one thing about it is you do know within yourself. You do know within yourself that you're living a life that is much better than it would otherwise have been. So therefore you can have something going for you that might not be there. Because you'll be content within yourself that you're doing all that is necessary to maintain at least a decent lifestyle, and not one that will be regretted in any way.